morning, church. It is so good to be with you this morning. I love seeing your faces. I love hearing your voices singing in worship. And if you're joining us on the live stream, it's so good to have you. I want to do something simple but important today. I want to give you a reminder of the promise and the guarantee of God. Because anyone who's placed their faith in Jesus has been marked by his Holy Spirit. They've been sealed. This is week 3 out of a 4-part series on the Holy Spirit. In week 1, Kyle shared about the presence of the Holy Spirit. And last week, Rick talked about the power of the Holy Spirit. And today, we're talking about the guarantee. The promise of God. A down payment for a future blessing. A foretaste of eternity. We have been sealed by the Holy Spirit. And if you don't yet know Jesus, consider that everything that I'm sharing with you today is a standing invitation. You may not yet be experiencing the benefits of this promise from God in your life, and yet, whether you know it or not, God has offered it to you and stands at the ready. So let's pray. Let's ask him to bless our time this morning, that we would hear really from him. Heavenly Father, I delight in you. Delight in the fact that we can hear your words. We can hear and obey. We can show the world somewhat what you're like as you move in us, as you place your spirit in us, as you grant us your power and you do things that bring you glory and make the world a better place. Lord, would you do some of that this morning? Would you help us to see and understand what you're about, what you have planned, what you desire? In your name we pray. Amen. I recently have taken up the art of blacksmithing. And I'm loving it so far. Aaron, where are you? My buddy? Yep. I didn't think I'd have a blacksmith buddy in the audience, but I do. And so I'm like a child who says they've just taken up drawing, right? I'm at the crayon phase, not the Picasso phase. But I've encountered an early theme in the blacksmith community. It's called a maker's mark. Perhaps the historical brand term would be brand or insignia. But now it's often called a maker's mark. And not unlike an artist's personal signature, a maker's mark is exactly what it sounds like. When you've crafted a piece of work, you apply your own special, unique mark to it. It's typically like a stamp that's hammered into the workpiece when the metal is super hot, and it leaves a permanent mark indicating the piece's craftsmanship and origin. And I must say I've made a few things so far, but I have this dilemma when it comes to creating my own maker's mark and applying it. Two dilemma, really. Is there a plural dilemma? Yeah. What is it? Dilemma? I don't think that's true. So here's the dilemma. One is, you know, what should it look like? I want it to be awesome, right? I have no idea what it should look like. The second thing is, do I really want to associate myself? Do I have anything that's worthy of being marked? Do I really want to associate myself with the first spoon I ever made? Actually, I kind of do. I like it. First set of tongs, though, was absolutely terrible. I definitely don't want to mark that. So hold on to this imagery for a moment and turn with me. We're gonna pick up in the middle of a chapter of Ephesians. This is going to be Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11 to 14. And the short context is that Paul is telling the church at Ephesus about the amazing spiritual blessings that they have in Jesus. He has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ, Paul says. And so this is a peek, if you will, at our eternal account balance. It says this, "In Jesus we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to put our hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, when you believed you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory." We've been chosen. We've been created by God. We are special to him. We were made to give due praise to our Creator, but also that his glory would shine through us by the way that we live. So how does this come to be? We are created, but we sin, we've fallen, but we hear the gospel, the Bible's central message of good news, and we believe it. And in that very moment, we are like that red-hot piece of metal, and God marks us, really for a second time, because every human is created in his image, stamped, if you will, But the second mark signifies that we are God's children and children of His promise. We are marked in Christ with the Holy Spirit, and this serves as a deposit guaranteeing the inheritance that is to come. Children, can you guys hear me in the audience? My kids probably playing checkers. This is true for you too. This isn't a mark that you can see with your own eyes, but if you could put on heaven goggles, this would be so bright you couldn't miss it. Even in this world, we get clues as to who has been marked by the Maker based on how we live. Because Jesus' disciples will love Him. They'll do as He commanded. And so we will know, the world will know that we are Christians by our love. This is good news about good news. All right, kids, especially for you, I have a question for you guys, okay? You can shout this one out. Who is the very best person you know at keeping promises? You can be brave. Go for it. You are the best person, yeah? No, no, who? No, yeah, go for it. That's awesome, your little brother. Yeah. It's tough being a parent, I'll say. It can be hard. No, that's good, your little brother. That was a good choice. Well, I don't want to offend you, but God's better at keeping promises. He's very, very good at keeping promises. In fact, He's never, ever missed one. And He never will. 2 Corinthians says that for no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. Because when Jesus says yes, He means yes. He anointed us. He set His seal of ownership on us. And He put His Spirit in our hearts as a deposit guaranteeing what is to come. Makes me think of this line from Hillsong's Oceans. Never failed and you won't start now. Love that song. Both the passage in Ephesians and now in 2 Corinthians, they speak about the seal, the Maker's mark. Maybe in a common day, we have signatures, notarizations. But we also have rings, right? It's common practice if you're engaged to somebody to give an engagement ring. And I don't think this is probably cool to say out loud, but you can kind of tell sometimes how wealthy a person is by how nice their ring is, right? We don't talk about this, right? But that's kind of a thing. So this seal that we've been given by the Lord is the most precious, valuable seal that has ever been created and ever been given. But it's on the ring of paupers. It's on the finger of paupers. We have not and we cannot deserve this honor or this promise. And yet we have it. And no one can revoke it. And this is God's glory and it shows us His love. And we can see His love and grace in this. And so when we've been sealed by the Holy Spirit, if we could see that seal with those heavenly goggles, if you will, if we remember it without them, we see the love of God reaching out to us, redeeming us in the grace of God because we didn't deserve it. But in our earthly experiences and relationships, it's not how this works, right? On earth, everyone fails. Even parents sometimes break a promise after a period of time. Signatures can be burned. Promises can be broken. Even a Maker's mark stamped in steel can be scratched off, cut off, marred. Our promises are not sure. We are not like God in that way, and we don't experience His perfection in any of our human relationships. Even our closest friends and our most trusted allies, they fall short of this ideal. So we don't have a day-to-day human experience of what this kind of perfect faithfulness is like. And so we live in a world of broken promises. Why do we break them? Sometimes we can't foresee all the variables. Sometimes we forget or we get distracted. Sometimes we no longer have the resources or the strength to carry out a promise that we made. We no longer care, perhaps, to follow through on a promise. Sometimes a relationship breaks in the middle of one. Sometimes we're deceived into making a bad commitment, or we want something else more than fulfilling the promise we made. This is kind of our norm. But God's not like this. So in our human relationships, we see a mix. Sometimes we see fulfilled promises, but sometimes we also see broken ones. And this puts us in a trained default mentality of skepticism with any promise to a degree. And so when God makes a promise, we can't easily grasp it. We must understand it on the basis of faith. But God's promise also comes with a guarantee, in this case, the sealing and the presence of the Holy Spirit. But what exactly has God promised us? Life. Life. Life eternal with Him, flourishing with Him. 2 Corinthians 5 says, "For we know that if this earthly tent," speaking about our bodies, "this earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. Meanwhile, we groan, longing to be clothed instead with our heavenly dwelling, because when we are clothed, we will not be found naked. For while we are in this tent, we groan and are burdened, because we do not wish to be unclothed, but to be clothed instead with our heavenly dwelling, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. And now the one who has fashioned us for this very purpose is God, who has given us the Spirit as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come." We were made in God's image, but we have all fallen. Sin has marred us, ruined us. But Jesus, He came to the rescue, and by His perfect life, His sacrifice on the cross, He makes a way for God's creation to be reconciled to our Creator. Not all will accept this offer, but God's arms are open to anyone who humbles themselves and accepts Jesus. And once we do, He saves us. Some impacts are immediate. Some will take a long time, perhaps. But one impact that is immediate is the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit seals us in that moment. And His sealing work and power cannot be undone. No one has the authority to undo what God does. So this seal is permanent, and it comes with identity and security and protection and peace. And so we are on a path to redemption. We're on a path of redemption. Maybe is a better way to say it. Because we have been redeemed through faith in Christ. And we are being redeemed as the Spirit works out His power within us and makes us more like Jesus. And we shall be redeemed when Christ returns and we become like Him. And the seal of the Holy Spirit is a deposit guaranteeing that inheritance, that He will complete the redemptive work that He has begun. But in the reality of our day-to-day lives, we have this battle raging between our flesh and the Spirit that God has placed within us. What the flesh and the Spirit want are contrary. And the frequent earthly examples we have of broken promises, they lend weight and credence to our flesh that tells us that we need to create our own identity, our own security. We need to be our own protectors. We need to forge our own peace. And it leaves us with a very serious and ongoing trust problem, because the pain and the hurt that we've all experienced makes us self-protective and doubtful. Will God really come through for me? Does He even exist? Is He out there? Is He even listening to these prayers? Does He care? Do my needs matter to Him? Do I really have the Spirit indwelling me? Do I have access to the power of God? Can I get a look at the seal you keep talking about? So given that we are sealed upon a moment of faith by the Holy Spirit, but also that we bring into that relationship this ongoing trust problem, I have two questions for you today. These are rhetorical, so you don't have to answer them out loud, but I would love you to search your heart and answer them there. What happens when we forget? What happens when we forget that we've been sealed by the Holy Spirit? When we disbelieve it? What happens when we forget that God has promised us access to the Holy Spirit? What happens when we forget? You know, there are so many moments like this in the narrative of the Bible when God's people forget Him or they turn from Him. And it's never good. When we forget about God or our connection to Him, all that's available to us is darkness and suffering, because He is our light and He is our provision. So when it comes to identity, without Him, we need to craft our own. We need to find a way to make life meaningful or for it to matter. So we have to go search that out. Security. We can't give freely to people because we need all the things ourselves. We don't have someone who's going to provide for us, and so we have to go get it. Protection, right? We have limited ability to love in the world because love can be risky in a world of broken promises. And if we don't know that we're protected by Him, it's hard to risk our hearts in our personal relationships because we know we're going to get hurt. And we feel alone. We aren't alone. the Spirit that's dwelling within us, but we feel it. And that is a heavy weight. There's just, how does this play out for me, right? There's worry is probably my quintessential thing in life. So good at worrying. Worried about lots of different things. Finances is one of the ones that comes up a lot. I can be worried about paying the bills. I can forget that I've been sealed with the Holy Spirit, that I've access to the power of the Holy Spirit, or that God even sometimes cares about my circumstances or is going to come through. And so instead of asking God for help, I have to solve the problem on my own. I have to figure out how to change the budget, make more money, live in different places. I don't know. You know, just do whatever you do. All that stress results in this bucket of yuck. And then I end up living out of self-reliance. And I'm living out of my own pitiful and meager power and stress the whole time. It's a terrible way to live. What happens for you when you forget? What's it like for you? God, on the other hand, is faithful. He marked us by His Holy Spirit, and we are His. And He sees our suffering and our need, and His power is available to us. Joshua is one of the great leaders of God's people back in the Old Testament. And he displayed a lot of faith in a lot of uncertain circumstances, trusted God in a lot of really scary and crazy moments. And he said this, "Not one of all the Lord's good promises to Israel failed. Everyone was fulfilled." He said the same thing on his deathbed. Every promise has been fulfilled. Not one has failed. And he heard a lot from God, and they were big. The author of Lamentations says, "The Lord has done what He planned. He has fulfilled His word, which He decreed long ago." And so in a very real sense, we have the whole biblical record to see God make a promise and fulfill it again and again and again. And there isn't a counterpoint to that. Sometimes that fulfillment comes in moments. Sometimes it's days or years or millennia. But the Bible is full of moments where we can see the faithfulness of God in action. But one moment in history stands out to me this morning. It's pretty old. It's not as old as they come, but it's pretty old. We go back several thousand years to the day after Jesus died. The next day, the one after Preparation Day, the chief priests and the Pharisees, they went to Pilate. "Sir," they said, "we remember that while he was still alive," speaking about Jesus, "that deceiver said, 'After 3 days I will rise again,' and so give the order for the tomb to be made secure until the third day. Otherwise, his disciples may come and steal the body and tell the people that he has been raised from the dead, and this last deception will be worse than the first." "Take a guard," Pilate answered. "Go, make the tomb as secure as you know how." And so they went and made the tomb secure by putting a seal on the stone, posting the guard. So the Roman authority deemed it was best to protect against this rumor being spread, so they post the seal of the Roman authority, one of the strongest military powers in all of history, certainly at the time, their full seal and soldiers to back it up to guard the tomb. And their concern was that Jesus' disciples would come and take his dead body out by force. But they didn't understand what was happening. They didn't understand what the true risk was, because Jesus just said undo on that seal. He canceled it. He broke it. He broke it by the power of his own life. He actually broke death too at the same time. And he stepped right out. And the soldiers could do nothing about it. What I love about the story is that God's power is so much greater than any human power. Even the strongest in the land is as nothing to him. He can break every seal in our lives, even the ones that aren't good. He can undo them all. And no one and nothing can undo his. So the second rhetorical question is this. First is, what happens if we forget? The second is, what happens if we remember? What happens if we remember that we are sealed by the Holy Spirit? Paul said this to the Philippian church, "I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus." The seal means that we have access to the power and the presence of God through the Spirit, that we don't need to live our life with our own meager human resources. We don't need to establish our own identity. We don't need to forge our own security. We don't need to be our own protectors. And we certainly will never find peace apart from Him, but He grants it. He has solved that dilemma for us. Church, God is delighted in you. He created you the way He intended. I can look out at this audience and none of you are the same. You're all different. You've all been gifted in different ways. You've been created and crafted by Him in different ways, and He intended for you to fulfill purpose. But more than that, He loves you. He loves you. And He is delighted to place the seal on you. The unbreakable. We can't see it, but we are walking around as sons and daughters of the King. And I might be hesitant, right, to place my maker's mark on my own blacksmithing creations. But God is pleased and delighted and has no second thought to placing His mark on you. And for those of you yet to accept Him, He stands ready. He longs for you to accept Him because He wants to mark you. He wants to make you His own. He wants to bless you with every promise He has in His arsenal. What's coming, church? Our present days are hard. They're difficult sometimes. Sometimes they're amazing, right? Sometimes we have great days. Sometimes they're really hard. But a day is coming when we will have bodies that no longer get sick or die or suffer or grow weary. A day is coming when we're going to have absolute freedom from the temptation to sin. We will no longer be trapped by it. We will live differently. A day is coming when we can clearly and powerfully want the things of God and bring them about without being distracted by all our own stuff. A day is coming when we can be in perfect, unbroken relationship with our Creator. That day is coming, and we know it because He's promised it. Other things might be coming too. Who knows? So we'll bring this to a close. We are on a path to redemption. We have been redeemed. We are being redeemed. And we shall be redeemed. And I think the call for today is, can we remember that? Can we hold on to that? Can we live according to that? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, pray you keep us dry for just a little bit longer. Pray that you would, more importantly than that, help us to hear you. Help us to see your offer. Help us to see ourselves as you see us. Help us to see your power as strong as it is. That every little flake of a problem that we experience in life that to us looks like the world is nothing because of your power, your presence that never leaves us, and the seal that nothing can break. Lord, we are delighted in you. We long to embrace all these things and to live according to them, and we invite you to strengthen us to do that. In your holy name we pray. Amen.